A couple weeks ago, or last week, I guess, at a conference I was at, I heard a statistic about how many questions kids ask in a day. And I don't remember the exact number, but I did the math at the time, and I do remember that it came out to be something like one question every 2 minutes. Does that sound about right to you all? My daughter doesn't even really put sentences together yet, but she just goes, like points around, and she asks a lot of questions. What do you think is the most common question that kids ask?
Why?
Absolutely. Why? Always asking, why does this happen? Why that? Why this? And I want to suggest that as the church, we need to be like children and tirelessly, and children are tireless, right? In this, we need to tirelessly ask the question, why, when it comes to the church? Why do we do this or that? Why are we here? And so I want to present you with that question. Why are we here? Why, not just here this morning in worship, but why does the church exist? To serve God? What is it? Just to spread the message of God? To praise? All good answers. Anything else? Why does the church exist? Why would God want us to serve him? To worship as a community? Anything else? Any other answers? Whoa, there were like five there. I heard to acknowledge God more.
Spread his love to others.
To spread his love to others, yeah. Because God loves the world, right? And he's chosen the church to proclaim that and to take that out into the world. So the church is not just for us. The church is for the world. We are here, the church is here in this world to connect people to Christ and to his kingdom. Not just the pastors of the churches, the church as a whole is here to connect people to Christ and his kingdom. Which brings us to the last line of our vision statement. So far we've looked at the main idea, and I'm going to ask you to kind of repeat after me, living the gospel life together. It's the main idea. And we said that includes three things, at least. Glorifying God in whole life worship. Growing as disciples by word and spirit. And today we talk about glowing with Christ's love in our neighborhoods. Glowing with Christ's love in our neighborhoods. The church is a mission. Christians are missionaries. Inherently. And so churches are missionary training and sending communities. We're not here to be here in a building. We're here to be out in the world, sharing the love of Christ, inviting others into his kingdom. And I think that's what we see in the passage we read from Philippians chapter 1 this morning. So we're going to look at Paul's example. How does Paul understand his purpose in life? Why he's there? And then we're going to look at our mission and understanding what that is. So far during the fall, we've been going through Philippians and we've been skipping around. So, you know, hopefully that hasn't been too confusing, but today we're in chapter 1 and we've seen how Paul moved from being a persecutor of the church, someone who hated Christians, to becoming a pursuer of Christ and one of the formative figures in the formation of the church. And we saw how this conversion, this transition in his life, moved Paul so he could not help but overflow in worship. So that's part of our vision statement, the worship part. And Paul does that. And in Philippians, he uses the words joy and rejoice 13 times. It's only four chapters long, a couple pages. And he uses joy and rejoice 13 times. Paul is moved to worship and give glory to God and shine the spotlight on God for all the great things God has done. And then we saw how Paul was moved to strain towards Christ, to be a disciple, to grow as a Christian. He says, I want to know Christ. And we've seen how Paul was involved in this passionate, spirit-driven, disciplined pursuit of Jesus. And so we said we want to be worshipers, we want to be disciples. But today we see that a life oriented to Christ, a life that wants to glorify God, a life that wants to grow as a disciple, is a life of mission. Paul, we see in this passage that was read this morning, is facing three barriers in his life right now. Things that we might assume would be barriers to his Christian life as well. He's facing imprisonment. He's facing opposition from other people in the church, and he's facing uncertainty about whether he's going to live or whether he's going to die. And what we see, that in all of these things that what we might think of as barriers to living well, Paul sees as opportunities for gospel mission. He's so consumed with the mission of God in this world that he is a part of, that he doesn't focus on how these things are barriers to him and his happiness. He focuses on how these things can serve the mission of God. So I want to show you how Paul thinks of these things. In verse 12, we see him talk about his imprisonment. He says, "I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ." So Paul gets thrown into jail, basically for rabble-rousing and talking to people about Jesus. And instead of being like, "Oh, this is unjust, man, this stinks," he says, "Hey, who else would tell the prison guards about Jesus and let them know about Jesus' love?" He says, "I'm in this new neighborhood, and I'm going to glow with Christ's love now while I'm here." And beyond that, he says, "And most of the brothers and sisters," so Christians outside of prison. By the way, this is a picture of one of the places where they believe Paul might have been imprisoned in Rome. Laura and I were there a few years ago. Not a very happy place. The altars weren't there back in Paul's day. It's like underground. It's moist and damp and dark. It's awful. And so just think about this, what Paul is saying here. But he goes on to say, "Most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear." So he says, my being here in prison and speaking the gospel to people and still glowing with Christ's love is actually encouraging other people to be more bold and fearless as they proclaim the gospel. So Paul says, basically, my imprisonment is bringing the gospel to the prison guards, and it's encouraging others to take the gospel out where they are. He's glowing with Christ's love in his new neighborhood of prison. Then he talks about the selfish preachers and his opponents. He says, some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry. And he goes on to say, they proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but intending to increase my suffering in my imprisonment. So these are people who are talking about Jesus, who are supposedly Christians. They're telling other people about Jesus, but they want Paul to stay in prison. They don't like him. And they're actively pursuing his increased suffering and imprisonment. And Paul goes on to say, what does it matter? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true. Whatever. These people are increasing my suffering, my imprisonment. Who cares? At least other people are hearing about Jesus. And God's mission is going out in the world. And then finally, we see Paul's uncertainty about life or death. He says, yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers, the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. It's my eager expectation and hope. I will not be put to shame in any way. But by my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted, now as always in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I die, I get to be with Jesus. And somehow my death could exalt Christ. And martyrdom does that, actually. When people die for Christ, people see that, and it makes an impact. Okay, so he says, Christ could be exalted by my death and my martyrdom, or Christ will be exalted as long as I'm here. He says, if I stay here, I will continue to be fruitful for you. I will continue to train you and equip you to share the gospel with others. So whether he's facing imprisonment or opposition or uncertainty, Paul is just simply glowing with Christ's love, no matter what happens to him, wherever he is. And it's not to say that Paul never got angry. It's not to say that Paul was never frustrated or sad or felt the injustice of his situation. But it is to say that he was ultimately consumed and captivated by the mission of God. The primary concern of a Christian is that Christ would be exalted. And to exalt something means to lift them up so other people can see. Whatever we do, it doesn't matter what happens to us, we want people to see Jesus for who he is. We want people to see Jesus' love and his invitation and his grace and his forgiveness and his mercy and his truth and his wisdom. That is the primary concern of a Christian. And that's what Paul, I think, exhibits in some ways in this passage we've read. So what about our mission as a church? What is our purpose? What is our primary concern? Is it to survive or grow as a church? Or is it to live a life on mission to the world and to bring Christ's love to others outside these walls? So when you think about church, are you concerned about the future of Point Place UCC? Are you concerned that we grow and become bigger and have a bigger budget and all of these things? Are you concerned primarily with the comfort of your own life and the comfort of your church life? Or is your primary concern that there are people all around us, all over the place, who don't know Christ and who do not experience the kingdom of God? What is your greatest concern as a Christian? Your comfort, our comfort as a church? Or that there are tons of people who don't know the love of God? The kingdom of God is, by one definition, the place where what God wants done is done. That makes sense? The place where what God wants done is done, that's the kingdom of God. And the good news is that the gospel, or the good news is the gospel, and the good news is that the kingdom of God is available to anyone at any time. Now, here's the problem. Do you look around yourself at the world and see that what God wants done is done all the time? Do you think God wants people living in poverty? Do you think that God wants the education inequality that we see? Some people who have awful school environments and some people who have everything? Do you think God wants to see shootings happening in our city day after day? Do you think God wants corruption in our government? Do you think God wants to see people who are so hopeless that they are moved to suicide? Do you think God wants to see bullying and people who are isolated and people who experience spiritual emptiness and chase after other gods that will never be for them what God can be for them? God does not want those things. And thus, there are places all around us where the kingdom of God needs to come. That's why we pray and sing on Sunday morning, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's what we want to see. We want what God wants done to be done. And that's our mission. I can almost guarantee you that God is not sitting up on his throne in heaven, worried about the future of Point Place United Church of Christ and whether we will exist for 10 years or 20 years or 30 years or whatever. I'm pretty sure that God is up on his throne, looking down at the world and seeing injustice and emptiness and isolation and hopelessness and pain and poverty, saying, "Where are my people? Where are my people bringing my kingdom into these places?" That's God's concern. His mission to bring the kingdom of God to bear in every place in this world. And if that's God's concern, that's our concern and our calling and our mission. Our mission is to connect people to Christ and to his kingdom, not for the sake of the church. So our mission is not about increasing our numbers, for the sake of the world and increasing the amount of people who know and experience God's kingdom and the love of Christ. That's the whole Bible story wrapped up in one, pretty much. When God called Abram, he said, "I'm going to bless you." Why? So that you can be a blessing to the world. You are going to be the channel of my blessing to the world. When God said he was going to dwell with Israel in the Old Testament, he called them a kingdom of priests, and a priest is a connector. He didn't just like Israel so much, he wanted them to have all the blessings. He chose Israel as a channel for his blessings to the rest of the world. When God became human in Jesus, it was to connect the human to the divine in one person. So not so God could experience the pleasures of human life, but to bridge the gap between what we experience and what God desires. And God left the church here so that people would know where they can experience forgiveness and hope and new life. And that's in Christ and his kingdom. Glowing with Christ's love in our neighborhoods is the last line in our vision statement, but it is certainly not the least. In fact, you might say that that line is the point of the whole thing. Why do we live the gospel life together? Why is that something that's good? So that the world can see who God is and see a community that's immersed in God's love. Why do we glorify God in whole life worship? So we can shine a spotlight on an amazing God who has done amazing things, and people can see that. Why do we grow as disciples by word and spirit? So that we can be strong enough and wise enough to go out into the world and bring the kingdom of God to bear in places of injustice and poverty and pain and spiritual emptiness. We need to grow so we can do that. To be a Christian is to be a missionary. We are called into the world, to enter the world, glowing with Christ's love through our words and through our deeds. So wherever you are, on Monday afternoon, on Saturday evening, wherever you are a place where God can connect with the people that you're around. That's our calling, wherever we go, to be this connecting point where people can know Christ's love and experience his kingdom and be invited in to share in that life. I'm going to jump right to our opportunities to grow and serve this morning, because we have some ways in the coming weeks that you can, I think, be a part of Christ's mission in this through this congregation. And I want to encourage you, because you are a missionary, if you are a Christian, you are a missionary, to take advantage of at least one of these. There are three opportunities in these next few weeks that the church as a community is participating in. And I want to encourage you to one of them at least, to be a part of one of them at least. These are in your bulletin. First is Tent City. Actually, is that first? Yes, it is. Chronologically, Tent City is first. Okay? So we've already talked about that this morning, being a blessing to those in our Toledo neighborhoods who are homeless in particular or under in poverty. That's October 27th that we're going to be doing that. Second is Feed My Sheep. And this happens every month, but this month is a little special. It's when we open our doors to people in our community and say, come on in and have a meal on us and experience community with us. And this month, we're going to have a Halloween party, especially for families. And I want to encourage our families to be there too. So our families interacting with families in our neighborhoods to help them to experience God's love in our community. And we're going to have some activities for kids to be a part of. We're going to have some story times. We're going to have some decorations. Hopefully people will come with some costumes on. And I think it's going to be a great time. And it's just a place, hopefully, where people can experience the kingdom of God and say, wow, this is what God wants. People gathering together over a meal, loving each other, talking with each other, listening to each other, sharing God's love with each other. So that's the second opportunity. That is on October 30th. It's Tuesday evening, October 30th, and the dinner starts at 5. So whether we have, if we have 50 people here from our church, great. You know, we don't need you all to serve meals, but sit down with people who are here and interact and listen and share your story and God's love with them. Okay? That's second. Third one is Saturday, November 3rd, and we're kind of working with the Friendship Center to get some names of people in our Point Shoreland neighborhoods who might need some help with yard cleanup this fall. So November 3rd is kind of the end of leaf season, hopefully, and we can kind of help people who might not be able to do this on their own clean up those yards, bring some rakes and whatever we need, and take some groups and go out and serve people in our neighborhoods and share God's love with them. in a very tangible way. Okay, so that's going to be from 10, about from 10 to 2. We'll see how many people sign up from the community. We'll see how many people sign up from this church. And then that'll determine how long we're out there, I suppose. But sign up downstairs. And all of these things, what I want to encourage you is to invite people in your life to be a part of them. So you could sign up downstairs for the raking thing. And you could be a part of a group from the church, but what you could also do is kind of start your own group and talk to some of your friends and say, hey, you know, my church, we're doing this thing where a bunch of people in the community are signing up if they have need of this. Why don't you come join us in it? Be a part of my group and we'll rake leaves together. Invite people into the mission of God, even if they're not Christians. A lot of people just want to serve and make an impact on their community. So invite people to do that. Invite people to come to Tent City. And let us know so we can make sure we have slots for them. Okay? So those are your three opportunities. Now, before these three opportunities, next Sunday, we're having a brown bag discipleship gathering. A BBD. Get used to the lingo. Okay? BBD. And what I'm asking is that, or what I'm inviting you to, is that you can bring your lunch to church, come to worship and go to coffee hour, and then about noon, we'll get together, maybe in the youth room, depends on how many people we have, and we're going to kind of interactively talk about how do we share our faith, okay? How do we share God's love with people? So if we're raking and someone says, why are you doing this? You know, have an answer. Because God has loved us so deeply, we want to share that love with you, you know? When you're sitting at a table with someone at Feed My Sheep and you're sharing stories, can you connect to them not just on, you know, what'd you do today level, but in who are you level? Who am I? What's your story? What's going on? And maybe you have the opportunity to invite them into this kingdom. Because it's one thing to serve people food and have them experience the kingdom of God one night a month. It's another thing to say, hey, you can be a part of this. You can be a part of the kingdom of God every day of your life. Okay, so how do we share our faith with people? That's what we're going to be talking about. And in about an hour and a half or 2 hours, I hope you will leave that day with a little bit more confidence that, yeah, I can bring the kingdom of God and Christ's love and share Christ's love with other people and share my story and why I'm a Christian with other people. Okay, so that is very intentionally before these three events where you'll be interacting with lots of people that you can share Christ's love with. All right. So there's sign-up stuff for all of this downstairs, and I really invite you, because you are a missionary, and because there are lots of people who need to experience the kingdom of God in our neighborhoods, to sign up for at least one of those mission projects and the brown bag discipleship. All right? Let's pray. Gracious and holy God, thank you for your mission, and we have benefited from it. Lord, we have received your love because you came to us and you sent others to us. Help us to become those missionaries who can go into the world and seek the kingdom of God to bring justice and hope and life to people who need it and places that need it. And we pray that we would not do it alone, but in the power of your Spirit. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.